Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The Alaska House has passed legislation seeking to limit what the state can charge residents of state-supported elder care facilities, known as Pioneer Homes. Representative Zach Fields, who sponsored the bill, has said it would raise rates to take into account inflation since 2004. But the rates would not be as high as those the Department of Health and Social Services proposed to better cover the cost of services. The bill and the department propose adding new tiers of services. The bill would allow the department to set a rate it deemed sufficient for the most comprehensive level. The bill would limit future rate changes. The department, in a fiscal analysis, said the bill would set in law rates that are 29% less than the cost of providing services. The size of permanent fund dividends will be at the center of talks between the House, the Senate, and Governor Mike Dunleavy as the legislature aims to end its session on Wednesday. House Speaker Bryce Edgeman is a Dillingham independent. He says the politically diverse House Majority Caucus remains united behind being responsible with the budget.
Clearly, the permanent fund dividend is critical to Alaskans. We know that, but we also want tomorrow's generation to have a permanent fund dividend as well as to have their school open today and school open tomorrow. So it's a big decision.
The House Majority Caucus held a press conference to signal its positions heading into the closing days of the session. The caucus has 15 Democrats, 7 Republicans, and 2 independents. The House's version of the budget leaves room for a roughly $1,200 PFD. The Senate's would have a full PFD of roughly $3,000 under a state law passed in 1982. Nome Democratic Representative Neil Foster says the majority doesn't plan to draw down the permanent fund's earnings reserve for a $3,000 PFD.
Yeah, it's just not sustainable. The money is not there for that. And so we just are not, it's not likely that we're going to go there.
The Senate budget would require the state to spend roughly $1.2 billion from the fund earnings beyond what's outlined in the law that passed last year. But North Pole Republican Representative Tammy Wilson says the permanent fund dividend size isn't settled. She also says the legislature could pass a bill that changes how the dividend is set.
We're still looking at a possible bill to look more at the dividend and how we structure that and how it works. So, you know, right now it's just really putting all the pieces together.
The operating and capital budgets and a major crime bill are still major issues left this year, other than the size of the dividend. Developer and fishing activist Bob Penny spent more than $300,000 to help elect Governor Mike Dunleavy. Now his grandson's company has been hired by the state under a no-bid contract. Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk has more.
Clark Penny's company, Penny Capital, is earning $8,000 a month to help a Dunleavy administration team bring new business to Alaska and expand existing ones, according to a copy of Penny's contract. The contract was first reported by the Alaska Landmine, a political blog. The state has procurement laws and regulations that govern hiring in order to make sure jobs and contracts go to the most qualified people and businesses. Those regulations generally require contracts to be put out to competitive bid. That didn't happen with Penny's contract when he was hired by the state's economic development arm, the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, or AIDA. AIDA's executive director, Tom Boutin, approved a waiver from standard bidding requirements. The agency's supporting documentation says Penny's company has hard-to-find experience working with investors and a, quote, network of contacts who are aligned with the governor's economic development initiative. Dunleavy administration officials referred questions to AIDA. Spokesman Karsten Rodvik says a big reason the contract didn't go out to bid was because it was urgent.
His financing experience and his extensive network are simply, you know, invaluable in helping achieve the goals of the team. And, you know, his immediate availability. This was done in part to avoid any delay in achieving real tangible results to Governor Dunleavy's open for business strategy.
Clark Penny is a grandson of Bob Penny. Penny gave more than $300,000 to a super PAC that supported Dunleavy in last year's election, though Dunleavy has said that when it comes to policy, he would treat Penny like any other constituent. Clark Penny has worked in finance at Merrill Lynch and Morgan Stanley. That's according to a biography on the website of another firm, Cypress Wealth Services, where he still works as a financial advisor. The firm works with high net worth families, business owners, and institutions, its website says, and Penny's listed as having offices in Anchorage and Southern California. He didn't respond to requests for comment. Penny's contract with Ada calls for him to earn $8,000 a month plus travel expenses through June. It can be extended for up to 3 more years. He's working from the Atwood Building in downtown Anchorage, Rodvik says. Penny's hiring comes as the state reconsiders how it organizes its economic development efforts. Earlier this year, Dunleavy proposed moving Alaska's 3 economic development specialists from the Commerce Department to the governor's office. But now the legislature is considering whether to delete those 3 jobs altogether. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
Alaska's seafood industry is exploring strategies to reduce damage from the Trump administration's trade dispute with China. Kodiak Daily Mirror reports that the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute plans to explore how Alaska can enter additional markets to expand the state's seafood brand. The U.S. plans to raise tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese imports from 10% to 25% today. The institute says China is the largest export market and reprocessor of Alaska seafood, with about $989 million worth of sales to China in 2017 alone. Executive Director Jeremy Woodrow says the institute is looking at both traditional and non-traditional markets. Woodrow says a survey of Alaska seafood businesses found 65% immediately lost sales after tariffs were implemented, 50% reported sales delays, and 36% reported lost customers in China. Last month, 6 commercial fishermen filed a lawsuit against a regional seafood association in Bristol Bay they belong to. The lawsuit, funded by the Pebble Limited Partnership, challenges more than $250,000 in funds the association had spent on groups that oppose the Pebble Mine. Now, the Dunleavy administration has weighed in. KDLG's Izzy Ross has more.
The Dunleavy administration has sided with the Pebble-backed plaintiffs in a legal dispute over whether the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association can fund groups opposed to the proposed mine. In an amicus brief filed May 6th, the state holds that BBRSDA should have no involvement in Pebble's permitting process and should instead confine its activities to marketing.
So our interest is in making sure that these associations are sticking to their statutory purposes.
Dario Borgeson is the state's attorney. He says the state takes issue with BBRSDA's financial agreements with groups opposed to Pebble. In the state's view, those contracts are not in line with the association's mission. Borgeson points to the language of the association's sponsors in the legislature.
And so our position is that they used pretty specific language about promoting and marketing regional seafood products. You know, it looks like the activities that BBRSDA is undertaking are outside that statutory purpose.
The association, of course, disagrees.
I mean, just as a matter of pure economics, forget the politics of it. Pure economics. They've made an investment.
Scott Kendall is an attorney for BBRSDA. The association filed a motion to dismiss the state's brief. Kendall says not weighing in on a project that could impact the region's fishery is out of the question.
The economics of a fishery are pounds of fish times the per pound value. Pebble Mine could impact both negatively. It could reduce the abundance of the fishery, and no matter what, a major mine going into that area will degrade the region's image as wild and unspoiled.
Most commercial fishermen in Bristol Bay are required to join BBRSDA and pay a 1% tax on their catch. Those dues fund the association. The association's response to the state includes letters from the Parnell and Walker administrations that acknowledge its authority to spend funds at its own discretion. Kendall says acknowledging that precedent is important.
What's changed between the last 7 years and Monday of this week? They've reversed that precedent. The statutes haven't changed. The only thing that appears to have changed is the posture of the administration.
In an emailed statement, Press Secretary Matt Shukaro said the governor wants to see the Pebble Project follow the permitting process. Shukaro did not say whether the governor is for or against the mine. In a recent letter, Dunleavy opposed the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers extending the deadline for the public comment period on Pebble. Despite that, the Army Corps did extend the comment period. It is now scheduled to end on July 1st. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
The Seafood Association is a supporter of KDLG's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. The State Ferry Columbia is still awaiting parts and repairs in Juneau. The ship broke down between Sitka and Petersburg Tuesday evening and was rerouted to Juneau for an inspection. According to DOT spokesperson Ora Landau, they were able to reroute passengers traveling to Petersburg, Wrangell, and Ketchikan on the state ferry Malaspina. Passengers traveling to Haines and Skagway took a ride on the Taslina. And here's a look at the weather forecast for the Juneau area going into the weekend. Tonight, scattered rain showers, low around 40. Saturday, scattered rain showers, high in the mid-50s. Sunday, sunny, highs around 60. Current conditions at Juneau International Airport, 56 degrees and overcast. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Friday, May 10th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea.